Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. 2 days ago in London, Chief Soviet Arms Negotiator Viktor Karpov said an agreement to eliminate intermediate-range nuclear missiles in Europe could be reached independent of strategic missiles and space defense talks. Today, he was contradicted by the Soviet Foreign Ministry spokesman. Gennady Gerasimov told reporters the Kremlin is now approaching arms control as a package, in his words, a complex, and will not sign a Euromissile agreement without agreement first on the more difficult issues. The Boston Globe, meanwhile, is quoting a Soviet bloc diplomat today as saying Mikhail Gorbachev would still like to come to Washington for a springtime summit, providing agreements are reached on offensive and defensive weapons. The unnamed diplomat also said Gorbachev might be willing to allow some testing of Star Wars technology outside the laboratory. In Pakistan today, U.S. Defense Secretary Weinberger suggested a major step-up is being considered in U.S. support for Afghan rebels based there. He spoke about possible installation of an early warning system against Soviet warplanes chasing guerrillas across the border. He would not rule out the use of AWACS radar planes.
We're looking at all of them. I think it's fair to say we haven't ruled out anything. We haven't ruled in anything. We want to know what is the solution most favored by the Pakistan government. I think it's urgently needed.
Weinberger said new Soviet troop withdrawals will have little impact on the war. In the Old City of Jerusalem this morning, firemen were hosing blood off the pavement near the Wailing Wall, where terrorist grenades killed one man and wounded 69. Police have rounded up 29 suspects. As Margaret Rogg reports from Cairo, the Palestine Liberation Organization has claimed responsibility.
The claim of responsibility for the Jerusalem attack was attributed to an unnamed PLO military spokesman. The statement was distributed by the PLO's news agency here this morning. The statement said the attack illustrated a recent PLO decision to escalate military action against Israel. It said the PLO leadership made the decision at a recent meeting, but did not say where or when the meeting took place. According to the statement, the attack was carried out by a special group from the Kamal Adwan Martyr Unit, named for a PLO leader killed by Israeli commandos in 1973. The PLO often names guerrilla units after its slain leaders. Palestinian officials here confirmed the statement, but would not elaborate on it. For the latest on the aftermath of the attack, here's Don McNeil in Jerusalem.
Israeli military sources describe the attack as the first ever directed specifically at soldiers within an Israeli city. It was clear, the sources said, that the target was the Israeli army. This morning, security police searched the area carefully, collecting pieces of shrapnel and any other clues as to the identity of the attackers. Military sources say the action was carefully planned and was probably carried out by a three-man hit team. It was the worst attack against Jews in Israel since a bomb ripped through a bus in 1984, killing six people. Don McNeil, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Nigerian novelist and playwright Wole Soyinka today became the first African and first black writer to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. The Swedish Academy of Letters cited the 52-year-old Soyinka as a writer who, in a wide cultural perspective and with poetic overtones, fashions the drama of existence. Soyinka was nominated by Skip Gates, an African literature specialist at Cornell University.
It's a great day for Africa. It's a great day for black people. This man has deserved the Nobel Prize. And now he has received the full recognition. He is a great artist and a great humanitarian. And I think that the Swedish Academy has done absolutely the right thing.
Also in Stockholm, the Nobel Prize for Economics awarded to American James McGill Buchanan for developing a theory called public choice, a way of examining the relationship between politics and economics. He's a professor at George Mason University, and we asked him this morning if he was surprised.
Yes, an absolute surprise. There were rumors that I was nominated in 1984, but I'd heard absolutely nothing since that year, so this was a total surprise.
What effect do you think this is going to have on your life and on your work?
That is impossible for me to tell. I think it will obviously bring more attention to the area that my colleagues and I have worked in.
Buchanan was an early advocate of a balanced budget amendment. Coincidentally, the federal government is technically broke this morning. Congress moving quickly to turn the money spigot on again, but the House last night tacked on two amendments to the $560 billion spending measure that might draw a veto. And the House passed and sent to the Senate a sweeping immigration measure. The 1986 World Series will find the New York Mets pitted against the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox breezed to the American League pennant last night in Fenway Park, beating the California Angels 8-1. Announcer Kurt Gowdy called it this way for CBS Radio Sports.
8-1, Boston, one strike away from the American League Championship. They got it. He struck out the side.
Game 6 of the Mets-Astros pennant series turned into an extra innings duel under the Houston Astrodome. With the Mets ahead 7-6 in the 16th inning, Houston's Kevin Bass was at the plate, the Mets' Jesse Orosco on the mound, and CBS Sports' Brent Musburger at the microphone.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, the Mets win it. The Mets win the National League Championship. Gary Carter jumps into the arms of Jesse Orosco, and they pour out of the Mets' third base dugout and celebrate out there on the pitcher's mound.
Mets fans were waiting early this morning to welcome their heroes home. It's the first time in 13 years the Mets have made it to the series. Third baseman Ray Knight was elated.
It's just the greatest thing that's happened to me, and we fought so hard, and then the Astros just played so great. It's such an emotional series, but I just thank God. I was so scared, even when we had a 3-run lead. They've just come back and played so great, and what can you say?
In Boston, Red Sox fans were dancing in the streets. CBS News reporter Anthony Mason was there.
The Boston Red Sox completed a dramatic comeback last night, capturing the American League pennant and launching a citywide celebration. Only last Sunday, the Sox had their backs to the wall, down 3-1 and one out away from elimination. Third baseman Wade Boggs remembers.
We just never gave up. We could have packed it in and come back on the flight and said, well, California's going to the World Series. And we never gave up. We came back here and we said, hey, let's put a little two-game win streak together at home and just go from there. And we did.
The loss was a bitter disappointment for California manager Gene Mauch, who for 25 years now has failed to take a team to the World Series. But the Red Sox may have even a greater history of frustration. Their last World Series championship was back in 1918. Last night, they earned another shot at the trophy. Anthony Mason, CBS News, Boston.
Game 1 of the World Series will be played Saturday night in New York. A sad sports note this morning, Jerry Smith, a 13-year veteran of the Washington Redskins, has died of AIDS. He was 43 and the first professional athlete known to have died of the disease. A mega bank may be in the works, combining the nation's two largest banks. There are reports this morning that Citicorp is exploring ways to buy all or part of the ailing Bank America Corporation. The Los Angeles-based First Interstate Bancorp has also made an offer for Bank America. The dollar is on the upside on most foreign currencies. Gold is about $2.50 higher in London, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up nearly 6 points. Our time, 7:10.